Welcome to 808s and Ankle Breaks. I'm Jonathan Kerma, your host. I'm an entertainment editor at the Amherst Wire and a Moogatoons editorial intern. So, and with me is our other host,
Trevor Wilson, not nearly decorated as our co-host here. I flip patties. I flip burgers at a diner. This is a side hustle, but we out here, summer vacay, and we're back. Sir. Blessing your head top.
So if you're new and you're coming from Moogatoons, thanks for listening. So this podcast, as you can tell through the title, we'll be talking about hip hop, the 808s, and basketball, the ankle breaks. And we've already recorded about 7 episodes before this. We took a little break, to celebrate summer a little bit. We just got back. I was on vacation, my skin tan, my hair long, my fans have been so patient, from Amherst Wire.
My skin
and
burnt.
Hold My Drink Sports. You guys know me, but we're back.
Let's get it.
And we're ready to do things. So
absolutely.
Today we'll be talking about, what are we talking about, Trevor? We got.
So for the 808 side, we kick it off with Slap or Skip, our weekly rundown of the best or worst tracks of the week.
Yep.
Give you our thoughts on that. Then we're going to pick our albums, favorite albums of the last month. We'll get into the Beef Report, which is, your daily update, or weekly update on rap beef, what's going on in the hip-hop world. And then we got your main course for you, which today we'll be talking about the Pusha T album and the Drake beef. That'll be a continuation of the Beef Report. And then we're going on to the little Spotify XXXTentacion R. Kelly situation. If you haven't read up on that, we'll educate you. That's what we're here for.
And for the ankle break side of things, we'll be just talking about, obviously, the upcoming NBA Finals, as well as, the losers of the Conference Finals and, where we go from here, pretty much. To wrap things up, we'll be doing our release radar. We'll be looking at, upcoming albums as well as the upcoming games, which is the NBA Finals on Thursday. So let's get into things, starting with Slap or Skip. So, if you're new, Slap or Skip, as Trevor said, is, our weekly roundup of tracks. Since we haven't recorded in about a month, we're kind of cheating and going, maybe 3 weeks back for a bunch of singles. And pretty much, we have 5 different sounds. If the song really slaps, we give it a super slap. If it's, if it's hard and we like it, we give it a regular slap. If we're, kind of in between, we give it a meh. And if it's on the lower end of things, we give it a skip, which we use Shannon Sharp for that. And if it's really trash, we got to give it a. There we go. So let's get started. Our first track we're gonna be looking at is Drake's new single "Upset." What'd you think of it, Trevor?
All right, I'm a big Drake fan, but for me, I gotta skip this one. I don't think it's bad enough to I can't put it on at all, but it's Drake's laziest song so far of the year. His flow, it's pretty good. He sounds nice over the beat, but it's kind of boring. Doesn't really have a lot of energy, doesn't really pick up at all.
Yeah.
It's him spitting bars, he's upset. Also, "I'm Upset" is such a Drake song title. I'm upset.
It's a light-skinned song.
I'm upset.
Title, That is like the most light-skinned song I've ever heard. I'm not going to lie, but we're not going to get into that. I also am going to give this a skip. For similar reasons. I thought it was a little boring. The beat, I wasn't too excited about. It's like a kind of melancholy trap beat.
Yeah.
Which I guess it makes sense with the title being "I'm Upset." But at the same time, that's just, for me personally, that's not what I want to hear. And then you also have, Drake on the track. I feel like he's giving that kind of lazy delivery, almost like a 21 Savage would.
Right.
But that's just not really what I want to hear from Drake.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
It doesn't really work for me. So we'll give that a skip. Next, we got YG featuring 2 Chainz, Big Sean, and Nicki Minaj. Their new single, "Big Bank," they dropped that last Friday, I believe. What do you think of it, Trevor?
So I listened to it this morning, and I'll give it a slap. It's pretty good. I think the beat's the worst part of it, honestly.
Okay.
It's really... I feel like I can make that beat, honestly. Okay. Sounds like, somebody was just fucking around on the xylophone. But all the verses are really good. 2 Chainz is a solid verse. Big Sean, his is all right. He gets a little corny with the bars, but that's what you got to expect from him. I really like Nicki's verse, actually. She came in pretty hard with a lot of energy. YG, you know, he sounds gritty on the hook. His verse is really good too. So, solid song, you know, nothing special, but I'll give it a slap. I put it on a playlist.
Yeah, I'll give it a meh. I'm not like the biggest fan of the song, but I definitely don't hate it either. Right. As Trevor said, you know, Big Sean's verse, I consider myself a Big Sean fan, but like he had some corny bars. He ended his verse with she got to ride it better than a Tesla, and I was like, hey, bro, that's not for me personally. Overall, like, it's just Nikki probably had the hardest verse on the track, for honestly. Sure. Like her 2 Chainz, I really like the hook.
Yeah.
So it's definitely not a bad song. It's just like, it's okay.
Yeah.
Give it a listen for yourself and see how you feel about it.
For sure.
Next, we're reaching a little bit, but this is the number one song in America. Childish Gambino, This Is America. What'd you think of this song, Trevor? Did you hit it with the super slap?
I did.
I had to make sure.
I did. This shit's hard, fam. It's real good. Gambino's back, but not like you'd expect him to be.
Yeah.
This track starts off, you know, very soulful. He's singing, but holy crap, here comes the 808. He kicks in, you know, and a lot of people are saying you need the video to watch or to listen to this song, which the video is very powerful. And we'll drop a link for that for you as well if you haven't seen it yet, which by now you probably have because it's all over the place. Right. But it's great. And there's no real substance to the lyrics, but I think he doesn't really need him because what he says is still powerful. Like, that. This is Selly. That's a tool. That's a tool. He's got the ad-libs in there, too. I really like how he brings in other rappers' ad-libs in. Like, you hear 21, you hear Young Thug. I think you hear Block Jimmy.
Slim Jimmy's
in there, too. Yeah, you hear a lot of different ad-libs. So that's a real interesting aspect of production there. But the song's really powerful. I really like the message behind it. And it's number one in the country for a reason right now. So I had to hit it with the super slap.
Yeah, I'm not going to go super slap. I'll go slap. I really like this song. And when I watched the music video, I loved it. And, you know, I'm assuming most people that listen to this podcast have already heard the song, so I'm not going to, like, go into it too much. I think the music video has a lot more of a message than, like, or makes the message way more clear than the song by itself does, but it's still an enjoyable song. I like the fact that it has, like, the two elements to it, where you have that kind of almost, like, soul, almost, like, a little bit of gospel influence in it, just because it has, like, a choir. You have that part of the song. Then you got, you know, the gritty trap shit, which is like kind of This Is America, where you got, you know, the scary aspects. And then you also got, you know, some peaceful and the nice stuff. So I like the track. I really do. You know, I think you said like the lyrics could be better. I think they definitely could be stronger, but it works. Like the simplicity works.
Yeah.
So that's why I got to give it a slap.
For sure.
Next we got Lil Baby featuring Drake. Yes, indeed. What'd you think? Originally, this track, when it came out, I think 2 weeks ago, it was labeled as Pikachu.
Pikachu, which because they should have kept as the song title, bro.
The title was Pikachu, I think I'd give it a super slap just based on that.
Right.
Like, I'm not even a Pokemon fan, but that's just, for some reason, that's a hard title.
It is. And he has those bars like, what is it, Yellow Ferrari, Pikachu, something like Pikachu. Yeah, it goes crazy. But I'll give it a slap. Because the beat's nice, the beat's hard.
Yeah.
You listen to this in your car, you gotta crank the bass up a little bit. I like Drake's verse. It's kind of a lazy, sleepy flow, but it sounds nice. He sounds really nice, and it's not the same as I'm Upset.
He's definitely smooth on that.
Yeah, he is, and I think the beat really helps out with that, too.
Yeah.
Lil Baby, I'm not huge on Lil Baby, but, you know, his verse, the hook is pretty good. It's a real short song, so there's not a lot to it, but came out at a party, I'm turning up, for sure.
Yeah, I'm definitely giving this song a slap. I really enjoy Lil Baby's verse, besides the line, when, I'm Lil Baby. Like, that's the one line where I really consider just, like, just stopping the whole song. But other than that, like, I really like his flow. He reminds me of Young Thug, which people have said before and gave him comparisons to, which makes sense because he's from Atlanta, he's around all these guys. It's crazy that he's only been rapping for, like, a year. Because, like, to have a Drake feature at this early in your career is just huge. Like, he's gonna blow up
for sure
because of this.
Yeah,
which
he just dropped an album too.
Yeah, he did just drop an album. I don't want to say just because of Drake. Like, he's obviously putting in work by himself, but once you get that Drake sign of approval or stamp of approval, you're just gonna get eyes on you that weren't, you know.
Right. Same with Blockboy. Like, if Drake hadn't hopped on Look Alive, nobody would know who Blockboy is.
People would know him, but like
not nearly as many.
Yeah, definitely not nearly as many. I agree. So I give it a slap, just like Drake's verse is hard, and I really appreciate Lil Baby's flow in that.
For sure.
Next track, we got Anderson .Paak, bubbling. I'll go first on this. I'll admit, I heard it for the first time this morning. I gotta give it a super slap. This is hard. Yes. He's got, like, I don't know what the sample is. It sounds like it's from, like, an action movie.
Right.
And then just the way he's, you know, being so, like, aggressive with such, like, a... such a warm and, like, soothing voice. It's such a weird combo. Like, but it works. It really works.
Right. This song's a flex, I think, for sure. And I gotta hit this with a super slap, too.
Yeah.
Because this is not what... I'm a big Anderson .Paak fan, and this is not at all what I would expect from him. Because his last two albums, Malibu and Venice... they're just these really laid-back, almost soul albums, kind of.
Yeah.
And that's his voice, too. His voice is... he just sounds nice when he's singing, and it's slow. But he comes in hard on this. This track hits hard. The sample is crazy. He snaps. And this song is definitely, I think, a proving ground for him that he can do more than just that soulful singing shit. I think this is a real step up for him. And I really like seeing this change from him, too, where he's adapting to the changing game, and he knows that... he can't just keep singing, where he's got to step up a little bit. So, this track was hard. Bubbling is hard.
Yeah. Has he announced, like, an album coming up or anything? Because, like,
I don't think so.
He's been rolling out singles and stuff. So.
Yeah. I mean, he dropped an album, I think, last year with the producer Knowledge, No Worries.
Yeah.
So, he's got some time. But, with this single, I would expect an album soon, I think. Probably this summer.
So, yeah, he hasn't announced anything, but I'm definitely looking forward to whatever's coming from Anderson.
Absolutely. Park.
And next we got J-Rock with the single Win. It's got a little Kendrick Lamar assist on it with ad-libs and stuff, but it's mostly just J-Rock kind of just rapping. So what do you think of it, Trevor?
I was really stuck on this song because that first time I heard it, I didn't really like it. Heard it again this morning. Heard it for a third time when we were in the stew. So I got to hit it with a slap. It's a good J-Rock song. The hook's a little iffy for me. Like, all I do is win. Win, 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 win. Yeah. Like, it's... gets a little repetitive. His verses are really good, though. I think that's where the song carries the most. I think that's where it picks up the most. But it's a good song. Good show. He's got an album coming out in June, I think. So we got that to look forward to. This is obviously the first single off of it. But.
So, in the few times I've listened to the song, I'm going to give it a meh. Not because I don't like the song.
Right.
But in the times I've listened so far, I haven't been too moved by it. But I haven't been like, yo, this is like garbage. I don't want to listen to it again. It's just, you know, I don't have... really established feelings on it yet. I will say, you know, I got sick of the win.
Yeah.
And then he, like, rhymed a couple different things. Like, did he say twin? I forget what the words he rhymed with it with. But it was, like, the fact that he kept doing that, it just got kind of old for me. But other than that, like, it's still a solid song. And I definitely, once again, it's one of those things where I recommend you listening to it for yourself. I don't want to, you know, impose my views on it. I think it's, you know, it's okay. It's definitely not a bad song.
But. Yeah.
And next we got A Boogie, Way Too Fly. What do you think, Trevor?
I gotta skip this one. Ew. It's just, I'm not really feeling the vibe from A Boogie on this. I think he sounds okay on the beat. I don't know about the feature, though. I don't really like the feature that much. I don't think he should go with the dance hall Caribbean vibe. Yeah. I don't know if that's the right wave for him.
For me, I'm just sick of, like, hearing all these rappers kind of... ever since One Dance, I feel like I've heard a bunch of rappers, you know, go to the flock to the sound. Like, Sway Lee did it a little bit on his solo album in Shrimp Life 3. I'm not really with it. Like,
yeah.
These songs just... they end up kind of sounding similar to each other. Like, I think A Boogie stands out a little bit, but it's still a skip for me. It's just not something I'm adding to my playlist. And maybe that's just because I'm not the biggest dancehall fan.
Mm-hmm.
But...
it's also the same, like, drum pattern, too.
Yeah.
Like, all nothing changes from all those drum patterns.
The Afro
drum only thing that changes is the melodies. That. And, like, sometimes the melodies don't even change that much. So it gets very samey. And, like, it's a pop song at the same time.
Like, I appreciate that A Boogie's, you know, trying to expand, like, his range in terms of, you know, genres and music. But at the same time, it's just not really for me.
Yeah.
So we'll go next. We got Tyler, the Creator. This is the only song that is not going to be on Apple or Spotify.
It's on
this
YouTube.
Track is on YouTube. 435. It's a pretty short track.
Yeah.
But, what
minute
do you think
and a
of
half.
It,
I got to give it... meh. It's all right.
Yeah.
Nothing special. It feels like another, like, throwaway verse from the album where he's kind of been, like, shedding those throughout the past couple weeks.
Well, he's been doing it since last year, too. Like, there was like Ziploc, I think, or something like that. That was, like, last summer, I believe.
Right. And I think the best song he's put out from his throwaways, you can't see my air quotes, but I did air quotes right there, is Okra. So far, I think that's the best one he's put out. That one's hard. But this one was okay. It's a very short 1.5 minute song, so I think it's a throwaway verse, but, you know, the lyrics are pretty good.
Yeah, I'm gonna give it a skip, not because it's necessarily bad. It's just like it's a throwaway. The only memorable like line in the song is where he's talking about, you know, not getting a Grammy or being nominated for only one. Other than that, there's no real like special lines that make this freestyle type song really weigh any like impact, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So we got one more song. Tekashi 6ix9ine with his new track Tati. What'd you think of this, Trevor?
I don't feel like it's bad enough where I can give it a super skip, so I'm just gonna give it a normal skip. But
it's a skip with an asterisk.
Yes, you because put a super skip. This is, I think, one of the better songs I've heard of his. But none of his songs are good. So this is just something I can't give him the benefit of the doubt here, and give him a meh. So it's like he's screaming on the track like he always does. Bro, he drops the R word, like, so much. Like, so much. Spread the word to end the word. But I don't think that's what he's going for here. But I can't take this guy seriously. Like, it's f***ing My Little Pony shit. Get off the scene, bro.
Honestly, I never thought I'd say this. Bro. But I'm going to give it a slap.
Don't do this.
I'm going to give it a slap.
Don't do this to me right now.
Because I've never enjoyed a 6ix9ine song until this one. Like, my and it's God. Just so ridiculous. That it's just entertaining. Like, it starts off with, like, he talks for, like, 5 seconds, and you hear, like, 20 gunshots.
That part, all right, I'll admit, I lost my shit at that part. I thought that was wicked funny.
The gunshots got me.
He's just saying nothing for, like, 30 seconds, and then, like, 30 gunshots come in.
Then he brings back, you know, the blicky, stiffy, he brings that back, and that's funny to me. I definitely don't support 6ix9ine, really, as, like, I'm not a fan of him or anything, and I've never, before this song, I don't think there's any songs where I've actually enjoyed. This one I enjoyed from just, like, a comedy standpoint, so I'll give it a slap. I'm not gonna disrespect it and be like, yeah, I didn't enjoy it. I enjoyed it, so I'm going to give it a slap. But that's all we have for Slap or Skip this week. We'll move on to our album picks, and then we'll get into, you know, our main topic. So what would you say has been your favorite album that you've listened to in the past month, Trevor, that's been released?
I mean, we're going to talk about it later, so I won't say too much about it. But the Pusha T album is unreal, bro. Unreal. Definitely my favorite album that's come out in the past week.
Why would you recommend it to someone that hasn't heard it?
It's a classic. And I think a lot of people... Or not a lot of people, but some hip-hop fans, newer hip-hop fans, don't listen to a lot of Pusha T. And I think you have to still admire lyrical rap, because it's kind of a dying art now.
Yeah.
And I think the beats, the sampling is really good. Kanye goes off producing this album. Like, every song is good, honestly. And my favorite part about it, too, is that he keeps it tight. He keeps it a nice, tight 7 songs, 21 minutes long. And... it's so dense, and you never feel like there's empty space in the album. Like, there's always words on the track. Maybe the intro will be, I think, the longest, like, 10 seconds without any lyrics.
Yeah.
But even it's a classic. The subject that matter that he goes into, you know, his classic drug deal, gritty rap, where he came up from.
Pusha T has made a career off just talking about
crack. He really has.
Which I don't understand how you can be so clever when you're talking about selling crack, but he's done it for so long, I can't deny it. He's got, like... some of the best metaphors that are just so clever. Seriously. Sometimes, and like he'll like juxtapose like government and like in infrared, he juxtaposes like Donald Trump and, you know, with the election stuff, all that with Russia, he compares that to Drake and like Quentin Miller.
Yeah,
like, that's impressive. But we're not gonna get too much into this album because we're gonna be talking about it a little bit later for obvious.
But that's
reasons.
My album pick for this month.
My album pick. I'm torn between this new ASAP Rocky, which I've really enjoyed. The album title is Testing, which I really love all the beats on it. I think ASAP Rocky is probably one of the best ears in the game right now in terms of, you know, beat selection. But my choice, which I know Trevor is going to disagree with me on this, is Playboi Carti's Dial It.
I don't disagree with you, bro.
Okay.
I really don't.
I remember the first time you heard it, you weren't feeling it. But, like, I listened to it the first time. I was like, this is good. Like, Playboi Carti, I'll start by saying, you know, he's not a lyricist. He doesn't care to be a lyricist. He's as minimal as you can get in terms of bars.
Right.
But, one, his beats are hypnotic and just, like, trippy as
f***. Right.
And then, second, it's the fact that I think he's got really the best ad-libs in the game right now. Like,
for sure.
His ad-lib game is unreal. Like, the what? Like, it's just it's it works. There's no other way to really explain it. It's like some dumb shit, and it's like he's not saying anything, but it's very like ear catching for me.
Absolutely, yeah, I definitely agree. I think I don't know, because I was always like really skeptical of Playboi Carti, but this album's chaotic, but it's chaotic in a good way.
Yeah.
Where it sound like every song is just like, it's a different experience, and it's like a drug almost. That's what it really feels like. This album feels like a drug, where it's just, it activates different parts of your brain, where you're just like, holy crap, this is lit, and then it comes in. Shooter is like one of the best songs I've heard by Playboi Carti in a long time.
Oh, bro, I love that song.
That song is so good.
I love Uzi's verse on that. Yeah. It's just so catchy. I really believe that Playboi and Uzi, in a couple years, like maybe like 10, 15 years, we're going to look back and we're going to look at them as more like intelligent artists than we do now.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think we don't give them enough credit for just developing like such a you know, catchy sound without saying much. Like, just because it's hip hop doesn't mean everything has to be, you know, bars and stuff, which that's been the case for like the past like 6 years, 7 years now, where it's been a less lyrical, you know, side of hip hop that's really emerged. But they've just like captured something where it goes beyond hip hop. Like, they're really rock stars.
Yeah, they really are.
They really are. But yeah, definitely check out Die Lit and Daytona.
And all caps.
Now we'll start getting into the beef report.
Where's the beef?
So, we'll start with J. Cole and Lil Pump. So this week, or I'll give some background knowledge before we get into it. You know, Lil Pump and J. Cole, their fan bases have you know, gone head-to-head before, just because of the fact that Lil Pump and Smoke Perp have this continuous chant of F*** J. Cole and stuff like that. Like, apparently, like, a year and a half ago, it was rumored that, Lil Pump put out a video of like, a diss track that he apparently recorded about J. Cole, where literally the hook was just, F*** J. Cole, some shit like that. So, they finally come full circle this week when they recorded a YouTube video, like an interview, like an hour-long interview between the both of them, just kind of a sit-down talk. And it was the weirdest thing.
It was so weird. So strange. Like, the first, like, 5 minutes was so awkward.
Yeah, like, it feels like J. Cole wanted it a lot more than Lil Pump wanted it. Like, Lil Pump was like, yeah, I'll do it. So, you gotta see this video for yourself, but I feel like most of this video is J. Cole just trying to bring something out of Lil Pump, and Lil Pump's just like,
yeah, sure.
Yeah, sure, whatever.
Okay.
Like, yeah. J. Cole's, like, trying to figure out, get to the bottom of, Lil Pump, why have you been smoking weed since sixth grade? And Lil Pump's like, I don't know, because it was, like, fun. And just, like, like that, which is what you should expect when you have a 17-year-old and a 30-year-old
that's what I'm saying.
Conversation.
Yeah.
So it's just pretty funny. I'm pretty sure Lil Pump, he was sipping something.
Oh, he absolutely was. There was something in that cup,
there was something in the cup.
There was something.
He had the styrofoam cup. It definitely had the ice in it. You can hear it. I'm not saying it's lean. I don't know what it is. But he had something. He had some substance while he was on that couch.
Bro, it was like, the video was like watching a middle schooler get called into the principal's office. That's what it looked like. My favorite part was in the very beginning, where J. Cole was like, so tell me about yourself. And he goes, so I'm Lil Pump. That's how he started it. And I lost it, bro. So I'm Lil Pump. Like, no shit, dude. Yeah. But
this is the closest thing to like serious Lil Pump I've ever seen, and I don't like serious Lil Pump. I thought, you know, maybe
it'd be, I thought maybe it would get personal. Other side,
but like, he still, you can tell he doesn't want to give up too much information.
Right.
There was one thing where he said he pulled out a strap on his stepdad at one point, and I was like, wow, Lil Pump's really about it. But
yeah.
I didn't gain too much from this interview. I just thought it was pretty funny to have them sitting down in a room and actually talking for once.
Yeah, and it's also very real for J. Cole on his part to do this. Because it's one thing to just like say, you know, on 1985, you can say all that and then do nothing about it.
Yeah.
But the fact that he was willing to sit down with Lil Pump, whether Lil Pump was willing to or not, we don't know. This could easily just be like a PR thing, a Lil Pump, because think about how many people like J. Cole.
Yeah.
And think about how many people are going to go listen to him now if they hadn't before, after seeing that interview.
Right.
So, but J. Cole, he's real for doing this and, you know, sticking to his word.
Lil Pump's real too. I'm not
No, absolutely. Like, because it's hard to agree to something like that. And he doesn't really open up at all. And you could definitely tell he's a teenager. He's just like, okay, yeah.
Yeah, he'd like, I think for some reason, maybe it's, I don't know if it's because he just isn't at that place where he can really articulate like his feelings
thoughts,
or he just doesn't want to give away those thoughts and feelings to the world. Because like, J. Cole, when I say he was trying to pull it out of him, some of the questions J. Cole would ask, it was literally like pulling teeth, trying to get Lil Pump to actually say something. And from the jump, J. Cole was trying to like make it a point to keep on saying, you know, Lil Pump is he's so smart and stuff like that. And I'm like, all right, like, I don't understand why. One, I don't understand why you keep saying this about him. And then two, he isn't really like doing anything to really prove his case. Yeah. Like, obviously, Lil Pump is not just the same way he is on all of his songs, where it's just a skit, you know, selling drugs and, you know, just partying. Like, that's probably not him 24 hours a day, but he didn't show anything where I was like, yeah, this guy actually graduated Harvard. Like, we all know he didn't.
Yeah, so. And I think him not opening up, it's either, it could be him just being like a teenager, or it's just him, it's part of his image. Like,
yeah.
Because if you have his image where you're just this kid that, you know, you're just, you're hard all the time. You're partying all the time. You're sipping lean all the time. Like, you don't want to open up that soft spot for other people, for your fans, because they might view you differently. And I can't blame him for that, because that's very tough to open up, especially when you're as big of a star as he's going to be.
Yeah.
I don't blame him for that. So, but it definitely was J. Cole was really trying to get something out of him. And I think the part of him, like, repeating, like, you know, you're so smart, you're such a smart kid, was him trying to get Lil Pump to be more comfortable about what he was going to say.
Yeah.
Which, obviously, not much was said. Yeah, but
like, I don't want to say that nothing was said. Like, he definitely, it's not like he was just like, didn't tell him anything about his life. Like, it was interesting for me to like learn about how Lil Pump grew up. So like, that's why I recommend still watching this video. Just know there's going to be some minutes in there where you're like, all right, dude, can you
where you just something? Can't make it through. Like, it's going to be a little awkward for a good portion of the video, but definitely still check it out. Absolutely.
Yeah. So now we got to move on to the real beef of the week.
Yeah.
Boy. Like, if you've been listening to 808s and Ankle Breaks, you knew we had to talk about this.
Right.
So after, you know, Pusha T dropped his album Daytona, the last track in the album was a song called Infrared, where, you know, Pusha T, he has some bars for Drake. He has a couple bars. The most important line, I think, is he says, it was written like Nas, but it was written like...
But it came from Quentin.
Yeah, it came from Quentin. As in Quentin Miller, who, you know, has been known as, who's been labeled as Drake's, you know, ghostwriter for like everything, because he assisted him on
If You're Reading This, It's Too Late. That was the big one.
As well as he gave him reference tracks for Drake's feature on Rico, which started the whole Meek Mill Drake beef, which, looking back on it, Meek was just being petty for the fact that Drake didn't like retweet his album, which is corny, but we'll... I digress.
I mean, Drake gave him the best song on the album.
Yeah. Like, so since then, you know, Drake has been dealing with everybody want to call him a ghostwriter. Everyone wants to call him a user of ghostwriters.
It's old this.
And so, you know, Drake could drop a good song and everyone's going to be like, you didn't write this. So Pusha T pretty much said that in his verse. He also had a couple bars for Lil Wayne and Baby. So Birdman.
Yeah.
So, you know, Drake had to respond. And what's really shocking is how quickly he responded.
It was the same day as the album dropped.
Within like 12 hours, he dropped his freestyle on SoundCloud, Duppy Freestyle, and it's just a diss track towards Pusha T, where it's just just all bars for him, pretty much. No hooks, nothing, just bars for him. So we'll kind of get into this. First of all, what did you think of it, Trevor?
Duppy Freestyle, it was hard. And I think one of the hardest parts about it was that it seemed like such an inconvenience for Drake to record this track. It's like, ugh, the audacity. Like, you come in like that, that's so disrespectful right off the bat.
That's what I'm saying. Like with like Nas, with Ether, you know, you hear Jay-Z from the start. Yeah. From Hit 'Em Up, Tupac, you hear, you know, first off, I your like, those are, that's a funny way to start a song. And it's the fact that Drake wants to open it with, like, an attitude. With the, like, do I really have to do this? Like,
yeah.
You're really wasting my damn time. I'm going to have to give you these bars, but I don't want to do it at all. That's a fire way to start now.
Absolutely. That's my diss track. It's so disrespectful. And the track itself, a lot of bars. There's a lot of subs at Kanye, too.
True.
Which he puts out, what do you think of the guy that's making your beats?
iPop style, for 30 hours and repeat, which is, you know, going back to the fact that Drake actually wrote for Kanye West. He got writing credits on the song 30 Hours on The Life of Pablo. So that was interesting for him to bring that up. What else did he say on there?
Something about father stretch. He's like father stretching his hands out.
Yeah.
For me. Like, Pusha calls Pusha the worst in his own label. You're not top five in your own label, which
that's
is what like
to get to. That's where it's like, that's where it like, it's obviously hyperbole because it's a diss track, but come on, bro. Pusha T's not worse than Designer.
He's not worse than
Big Sean. Let's just be real.
Yeah.
But
it's a fire diss track. There's a lot of embellishment. It's really good, but I don't think people should say like, oh, Drake's ending Pusha's career. Like, because Pusha just dropped a classic, bro. And you have to realize that.
Well, first of all, I don't want to label it a classic yet because it's only been out for a week.
It is a classic.
You can't label something a classic.
Yes,
a
you can. I just did it.
We'll see. I mean, you can label it a classic. We'll see if it stands the test of time.
Other rappers have called it a classic.
That's fine. But it's like, I think to say something classic right now, that's easy to say. But what happens? Yeah, because you're bumping it right now. But what happens in a month?
Are you listening to it? I'm still going to be listening to it.
And 2 years from now, are you going to listen to it and be like, yo, this is a classic?
You're going
to be like, that was a good album, but I don't know if it was a classic. That's all I'm saying.
To Pimp a Butterfly, instant classic, still listen to it.
Well, that is a classic. That's been proven.
Yes. It was a classic the year it came out.
But, like, I've heard people say J. Cole's KOD is a classic.
That's ridiculous.
We'll see. Like, I haven't listened to it.
Daytona is what J. Cole wanted KOD to be.
I don't know about that.
Yes.
I don't think he's going for that. But what was I going to say? I think the other most memorable part about this diss track is the invoice that Drake sent after, because he ended the song with, let me get the exact line so you know I'm not misquoting Drake. So he ends the track with, tell Ye we got an invoice coming to you, considering that we just sold another 20 for you. So arguing that, you know, by using Drake's name or using Quentin Miller's name and, you know, sending shots at Drake, it's just going to get more attention, and this diss track is going to bring more attention to the album, which when I was on the Genius app, you know, looking at the lyrics, Infrared's like the number two song on the Genius like charts because so many people have been clicking on it because it's talking about Drake.
Right.
None of the other tracks were that high. Absolutely. So he has a valid point. But what made it so funny was the fact that Pusha then quoted the song when Drake dropped it on Twitter. He quoted it and he said, send the invoice for 20 then. Drake went ahead and invoiced him $100,000 for reviving his career and, marketing his album.
Like, yeah.
That's honestly the funniest thing I've ever seen. Like, that's just so disrespectful.
It's so petty. It's literally petty. So petty, bro. And but Drake is absolutely the pettiest guy in the
like,
game.
With this track, like, I feel like he doesn't have any of those bars that are super memorable, like back-to-back with, you know, is that a world tour, your girl's tour, Twitter fingers turned to Twitter fingers, lines like that. But you have to have a moment like that. This invoice, that's what we're going to remember 5 years from now.
Yep.
And, like, that's, I think it's petty, but it's genius. And, like, in this era of, like, you know, streaming and, you know, everything's on the internet, you got to have something that people remember on social media.
Yep.
That's what they're going to remember.
Right.
So he definitely got away with that. Do you think Pusha needs to respond to this?
No, I don't think so. It's if he were going to, I think he would have already. And I think Pusha's at a point in his career where he doesn't need to respond. Like,
yeah,
he's established. He's absolutely established. He's one of the greats, and you know people feel differently about that. And you can't look me in the face and tell me that Drake's a better rapper than Pusha T.
Yeah, in terms of, like, bars or anything, he's not.
I think he's a bigger superstar, but he's not a better rapper.
Yeah.
And I don't think Pusha needs to respond because of where he's at. Plus, like, he just dropped this album, and I don't think he wants that diss track to be associated with that.
This is my thing, though. The only reason I feel like he has to respond is the fact that Drake is low-key a genius. He yes, he's giving attention to Pusha T stuff, but Drake went and, one, dropped a single right after the diss track, and he pretty much stole Pusha's weekend away from him. Like, if you really think about it.
He kind of overshadowed this weekend.
Isn't about Daytona anymore. It's about Pusha T and Drake's beef, and then also the fact that like Drake just dropped a song. Like I think when he posted the song, he was like, "Anyways, now back to the album mode or whatever."
Yeah.
So it's kind of it took away from Pusha's moment. So if I was Pusha, I might try and drop something else just to you know bring it back to you.
Right.
But I don't think he necessarily has to respond because, you know, none of the disses, I think, on this track go too deep. I think his best point is, you know, talking about how Kanye also uses ghostwriters. But other than that, you know, to say he's not top five, and then he also claims that, you know, he didn't sell as many drugs as he's no, you know.
He acts like
he's not a drug
sold for Escobar in the 80s.
Was that line.
Yeah.
To, you know, to try and discredit him as a drug dealer is just kind of dumb because, one, Drake, like, you've already been discredited so much with these ghostwriting scandals.
Yeah.
It's like, you can't really try and discredit anybody else's, you know, realness.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when Pusha T's, his manager went to jail for selling, like, $30 million in crack. So, like, I'm assuming if your manager's doing that, like, he's pretty legit.
Yep.
Like, obviously, you know, I'm not from the streets. I don't know what's really going down with him, but his credibility has stood, you know, the test of time for the past like 10 years.
Right.
So you can't really question that. I will give one more bar, you know, some credit that I forgot. You know, he mentioned the fact, the microphone fading.
Yeah.
So when Drake was like a teenager, he was a huge Pusha T fan. Like, there's like videos of him talking about how he was a huge Clips fan.
Yeah.
And there's a video of him talking about how he bought this microphone that was signed by Pusha T. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he said, like, you know, the signature on this mic is faded or whatever. Like, I thought that was kind of clever how, you know, Pusha T's career is kind of, it's not necessarily in a downward spiral, but he's just at that point where he's like 40 something.
Yeah.
And, you know, none of his solo albums have even gone gold, which right. That sounds crazy to me. I'm surprised that that's true. But, you know, you could argue that, you know, his career is fading, which is an interesting point. But other than that, like, I don't think there's any real bars that are like super stingers.
Yeah. I just don't think there's too much evidence, I guess, to back it up. It's a lot of embellishment, which like you have to do on a diss track. But diss track. But it's definitely a solid diss. I don't think Push is going to respond. I don't think he has to respond.
All right.
And that's that. That's the beef.
So now let's get on to, I guess it's more beef, XXXTentacion versus Spotify.
Right.
So you want to give us some...
Yeah, so the rundown was a couple weeks ago, Spotify announced that they were removing R. Kelly and XXXTentacion's songs from their playlists. So from Spotify made playlists as part of its new hate content and hateful conduct policy, which I respect out of Spotify. That's a good move on their part. Basically what it means is they won't promote X's or R. Kelly's music anymore.
It's like, we're not taking you off the platform, but we're not going to help you get views on our site either.
And the backlash from this has been, like, people are like, oh, they're censoring them and whatnot. But I just think it's a move from Spotify where they don't want to support artists with that kind of history. And that's a dangerous move for a business, but at the same time, it works.
My take on it, before we continue, you know, where else this went, my take on it is the fact that, like, yes, in theory, it sounds like a great idea,
mm-hmm.
but to actually go about this, you know how many people, like, you're gonna... It's a slippery slope. So it'll start where you're like, oh, yeah, we can just, you know, take XXX off the playlist. Well, what about Famous Dex?
Right.
What about all these... There's a lot of, I'll say this, a lot of, you know, white artists that, you know, they didn't do this for. And that's what happens with this. It's a slippery slope. So you look dumb if you're not taking everybody off it.
Yeah.
And it looks like you're trying to target people that, one, XXXTentacion, while he's been charged, he's on trial about, you know, the domestic violence and all that.
And there's been other allegations against him, too.
There's a bunch of allegations against him, but he hasn't gone to jail for these allegations. He's been to jail before, but not for these allegations.
Right.
So for you to go as far as to just remove him, I don't think you should do that. I don't think legally you really can do that and just think it's okay. Especially if you're just not doing it for everybody. It's like you got to choose. You can't just, you can't choose. You can't just pick and choose. You got to either do all or none. And it looks real dumb.
That was one of the points my friends made too, where he was like, you can't just like pick and choose. You have to, if you're going to commit to this, you have to commit to everybody. And you got to make sure that you do commit to everybody.
And the thing is, if you're going to do it with the artist, what about like label heads? Because there have been plenty of label heads that have gotten into scandals like this recently.
Yeah.
I can't think of any off the top of my head. But I was reading an article about that, and I was like, that's so true. Like, how are you choosing, like, what are the parameters that decide who's going to get banned and who's not going to get banned from playlists? Like,
because
if you start doing it where you have label heads too, all of a sudden, you know, maybe OVO, all these other labels, you're losing them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you look kind of dumb because you're losing your heavy hitter in music.
Yeah.
But what can you continue, you know?
Yeah, so, and it's actually funny because Spotify came out recently and said that they might revert back to their old policy because it kind of backfired because these artists have actually gotten more streaming numbers. Their numbers have gone up since then.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of ridiculous to me. Like, that just shows, like, that this was, like, a business move more than anything.
Yeah.
And if you were serious about, and I, because at first I was like, this is a great move. Like, they're doing, you know, people over profits. But now, obviously, it didn't work out probably as they'd expected.
Yeah.
So they're going to go back.
And another reason why they went back is apparently Kendrick Lamar's reps, like, they came out and said, like, if you're going to continue this policy and have XXX banned, we're just going to take our stuff off Spotify.
Yeah.
So they were starting to get pressure from other artists as well. And they backtracked on this. And I think it's all just because, like, this was all, as you said, like, business and publicity. Like, I think it definitely sounds, it by hearing the headline of Spotify removing these, you know, these negative influences in music right now, you know, it mm-hmm. seems like it's such a good thing. But when you look into it, like, what are you really doing and how important is it to you?
Right.
So with artists coming out and saying something and then they're removing it, clearly they didn't actually stand by this policy yeah. that much.
Absolutely. So. I agree. It's in this day and age, I feel like you need to stand by that. But I get that the reps were upset about it because, like, It is kind of censorship in yeah. a way. Like, you're not... I get if you don't want to promote these artists, but to deliberately take them off of playlists and stuff... I think the misconception at first, too, was that people thought they were completely taking them off the streaming platform. But that's not what it is. They're not promoting them. They're taking them off playlists. But now they're going back... They're reverting back to it. And I don't know. It's kind of a weak move from Spotify, I think.
Start off our ankle breaks every week for those that are new. What we like to do is we like to talk about, you know, instead of giving you the highlights, well, we do give you the highlights, but we like to focus on the disrespectful highlights. With that, we do square up play of the week, where we look at the plays where, you know, you might have to swing. You might have to swing by the way you were disrespected in this basketball highlight. So our first square up play is, what is it, Trevor?
So in game 6 of the Western Conference Finals, Steph Curry drilled a corner three on the Houston Rockets and turned around and gave James Harden a hug on the bench yeah. right after he drilled it. Like, I don't know how much more disrespectful it gets than that, bro.
I really, like, I'm surprised, like, nobody left the bench. Like,
yeah, nobody did anything.
Nothing.
Harden just, like, shook his head.
We're in a different league today, yeah. I guess. But I feel like if this happened...
In like
10 years ago?
Yeah, 80s or 90s. This
no,
somebody,
even 10 years yeah. ago. Like, I remember Steve Nash getting, like, checked by, I think it was Bruce Bowen. And mm-hmm. I think it's 07, I believe. Or yeah, 07. And the whole bench cleared. And then Amari Stoudemire and Boris Diaw were, like, suspended for the whole series. And that swung the whole thing.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that literally no one did anything. The fact right. that Steph Curry had the audacity to just turn around and disrespect Harden like that mm-hmm. and give him a hug after shooting a three. Crazy.
Bro, it was so disrespect. Like, it's not even the play itself.
It's the action.
It was the action. Yeah. He literally turned around and hugged him.
Yeah.
Like, if somebody did that to me, dude, I would be so mad. I would yeah. be so tight if somebody did that to right. me. But
next,
that's play number one.
Next,
number
we got
two.
Jason Tatum in game seven.
Yeah.
In the fourth quarter, you know, cameras are on him. Like, this is a highlight. The big
career
moment.
Highlight.
He goes and posters the king.
Yeah.
He catches Bron. He really catches Bron in a poster. And then afterwards, the best part is the fact that he gave him a bump. Like, that's just wild to me. The fact that it's LeBron James. And two, the fourth quarter, wild. Just disrespectful, though.
Yep. If LeBron's not going to pass the torch, Tatum's going to take it. And I don't know if this is a square-up worthy, but, like, bro, he dunked on LeBron. And yeah. I think the most disrespectful part of it is he's this rookie. He's 20 years old. Goes up to LeBron James, who's headed to now his eighth straight final. He chest bumps him, screams right in his face, bro.
Tatum's going to be... He's going to be
a... He's going to be a beast. He's going to be a star.
Give it a couple years.
Yep.
And our last pick is not in the NBA, but from an NBA player. Joel Embiid, you know, looked like he was playing some street ball this week against a couple, you know. I doubt that anybody else on the court was over 6 feet. Like, it didn't look like anybody was that tall.
He looks so large
yeah.
compared to the rest of the people on the court.
So, some average Joe's guarding him. And Joel Embiid has the audacity to, one, throw the ball off the dude's head and then do a windmill dunk on him. So all of these highlights we're going to have clips for, so you can check it out yourself in the description. And it's just the fact that, like, really, dude, you're doing this, playing street ball.
Against...
You're really going to windmill dunk on somebody. Like, that's unnecessary. If I was in the league and I was playing against random people, I'd just shoot threes. Like,
yeah.
There's no need for me to dunk on any of you guys, because, like, you all know I can.
I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. But those are our square up plays. Which one gets the crown, Kerm? Which one's your winner?
Me, I'd say, in terms of what's the most disrespectful, is Joel Embiid.
Yeah, but you're not fighting Joel Embiid. That's, but, if you're 5, 11, you're not fighting Joel Embiid.
Of these three, the most square-upable offense is the Steph Curry one.
Yeah.
The most disrespectful is the Joel Embiid one. And the craziest play is the Tatum one. Like, that one's going to be played for the next 10 years. So, it's really up to you guys to decide on that one.
Right.
But next, we got to talk about these Game 7s and, the finals. So, if you didn't know. Last night, the Houston Rockets lost to Golden State in Game 7, so the Warriors will be going on to the finals. And the day before that, the Cleveland Cavaliers defeated the Celtics in Game 7, a real close game. So
yeah,
I think first we should focus on the losers of these games, where they go from here,
right?
Blame. So let's get into that. Trevor, you're a Celtics fan, so I'll let you
get
started.
Yeah, so blowing a 3-2 series lead, it's inexperience, I think. They're a young team, and they're very confident. This Celtics team was really confident, and I felt really good about this series. Even after Game 6, I felt really good about going home Game 7. But I think we ran out of gas, and I don't think we had the playoff experience on our roster to beat LeBron in Game 7. Also, LeBron played this whole game, and whenever he's on the floor, the Cavs play significantly better. So Game 7, I saw a lot of tweets about the refs, people blaming the refs. You can't blame the refs. Celtics shot so many poor threes. Yeah. Their shooting was abysmal in Game 7.
I think Game 6, I don't really blame the Celtics for losing Game 6.
It was a close game.
I will say the fact that Kevin Love went out, you got
to
think.
You have to capitalize on that.
You got to try and capitalize on that. But you also don't expect LeBron to turn into a god.
Yeah.
You do. But like,
there's
nothing you can really do about that.
Right.
Game 7, though, I feel like the Celtics, they lost their identity.
They did.
Like, who they are. There was way too many ISOs in the second half, in my opinion. Also, Terry Rozier, he might have played himself out of a contract.
I don't know about that. He was really horrible. But
not the more like as in he's going to be getting a vet minimum.
Yeah.
But his trade value probably dipped a little bit, a tiny bit. Just the fact that he was putting up some tough ones. He really tried to take a step back or step back three on LeBron in the third quarter.
Yeah. He was already 0-for-6 at that point too.
Some suspect shots. Jaylen Brown didn't have the best game.
He vanished.
I'm not gonna blame anybody for.
I'm going to blame poor shot selection and silly fouls. Because the whole game, the Celtics were just getting these ticky-tacky fouls on the Cavs that sent them to the free throw line.
It's also, when you're guarding LeBron, you got to expect those fouls. So you got to try and play around it.
Right. I thought some of the calls were bad. I'll admit that I thought some of the calls were bad. But I don't think you can look at the refs and be like, this is their fault. Because the Celtics, they drove up the foul numbers really quickly. And they were in the bonus really early in most of the quarters. And, when you send the Cavs to the line, the Cavs are a better free throw shooting team than the Celtics team. The Celtics were pretty bad, all things considered, with free throws this series.
I gotta point the finger, this sounds kind of crazy. I'm pointing the finger at Brad Stevens a little bit, just because the fact that the Celtics really lost their identity. I just thought there was way too many ISOs, some Marcus Smart ISOs, some Jaylen Brown, some. Like, the Tatum ISOs, they work because Tatum is just such a naturally gifted scorer, which is crazy to say that for, a rookie, how good of a scorer he is. But there was just too much one-on-one basketball for the Celtics.
Right.
That's not how they win. And then in the last 2 minutes of that game, how does Tatum not get one touch?
He was hot, too. He just came off of the best dunk of his career.
A dunk followed by a three.
Drilled a three.
I don't remember if he scored after that.
I don't think he did. He didn't. And
Yeah,
and I love Brad Stevens, but I think I agree with you where all the Celtics' losses this series came from bad shot selection, but they also, I think, had the wrong game plan, defensively and offensively. Like, when they were getting killed on defense, it was because of bad switches. They had a bad switch scheme, which you have to do on LeBron.
I think they should have tried to fight through screen a little bit.
Yeah.
That's not a coaching thing, though. Because there were some plays where they were just dying on screens. You can't die on screens like that every single time. You got to try and fight through them. So I think they definitely could have done a much better job.
Absolutely.
But at this point, it is what it is. We'll move on to, Houston and their loss. Who to point the finger at? That's just how it works in basketball. You got to point the finger at somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So Chris Paul gets injured in game six.
Game 5.
Game 5, yeah, end of Game 5. So, no Chris Paul in Game 6, no Chris Paul in Game 7. Both of these games, the Rockets got off to great starts.
And just fizzled out. Yeah. Games.
Who do you point the finger at?
They just lost their... I really don't know who to point the finger at. Like, it's tough because... I guess it's just the players. Because even, like, you can point the finger at Harden. Because they got hot. They were really good the first half, both games. And they were just horrible in the second half. Like, they missed 27 straight threes last night.
I think it's probably, like, which is, it's kind of, I hate doing this, but it's, I think it's 1,000% on James Harden.
Yeah.
1,000%.
He had so many bad turnovers in the second half as well.
And the thing is, like, last night in Game 7, they had, P.J. Tucker was strapping stuff. Like,
yeah.
They had so many steals, and they didn't take advantage of these steals because James Harden, like, there was, like, two straight plays where he took garbage threes because he wanted to get fouled.
Yep.
Like, and I get, you know, you're trying to draw a foul, but, like, the refs weren't calling it like that last night. Mm-hmm. And one, you're trying to bait the refs into calling these fouls.
Yeah.
It's like, just because you're touched and you put the shot up, before, like, you're touched before so you intentionally put the shot up, they're not going to give you the call.
Right.
Because you're intentionally trying to, like, draw that foul that's, like, not a natural shot.
Yeah. And I think when they did call it, they were really good about calling it on the floor and not calling a shooting foul. Because that's what, I think Harden, like, went up for a shot and banked in a three that he thought he got fouled during the shot. But it was clearly before he went up with the shot. He just felt the contact, and then he went up to the shot, and they called it on the floor. So Harden's really good at selling fouls. There's no doubt about it. But he was, I think he got a little too selfish. And whenever he tried to make a play, he just made a bad pass. It was a bad turnover. Like, he always does that thing where he drives in, he gets about, like, 8 feet away from the rim, and then he turns around and tries to dish it to somebody who's at the top for a three. But the Warriors picked that off, like, three times out of five in the fourth quarter.
And it also doesn't help. The Rockets did miss 27 three-pointers.
Yeah.
And that's, I think there was some bad shot selection, but those are also shots they've been taking all year.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I couldn't really get too, you know, wound up about that.
Right.
I just think there definitely could have been a lot, you know, better, more, you know, thought put into James Harden's game. Like, there was just a lot of, like, suspect shots that he put up and a lot of bad decisions. So I'm going to put it on James Harden.
Yeah.
And it's been kind of a consistent thing where he just doesn't show up in these closeout games.
Which, yeah.
I think last night, I'll give him credit. I think he showed up more than we've said.
Like, yeah. I think he had 32 last night.
Yeah, 32 points.
Still bad shooting night,
bad
though.
Shooting, but I also respect his aggressiveness. But
yeah.
He's had games like against the Spurs in Game 6 last year when they got.
He was like 2 for 11.
Where no, he was like 2 for 8 or something. Where it's like he only took like 8 shots.
Yeah.
It's like, why are you only taking 8 shots in a closeout game? So I gotta give him credit for at least, you know, having balls and, you know, putting up those shots. But at the same time, you gotta be smarter.
Yeah, absolutely.
But where do the Rockets go from here?
Man, I don't know because. We were talking about it earlier, how, like, this could have been the Rockets' like most legitimate chance, given this Warriors team. I really don't think it does either.
CP, when you're a point guard that's, like, however old he is, he's in his, like, 30s, you're only going to get worse. Like, speed is so important at the point guard position, and as you get older, you just naturally aren't going to be as fast.
Yeah.
And with the injuries that he deals with every year, he's going to eventually break down.
Yeah.
And you can't expect CP to get better next year.
Right.
You can't.
And Harden's still in his prime, obviously, but CP is not going to get any better. The Rockets are an old team.
Yeah.
They have a lot of vets.
Another thing is, I don't think the Warriors are going to be as vulnerable ever again.
No, I don't. They were riddled with injuries this year. And like
injuries, I don't think they had the focus that they needed to be, you know, the juggernaut that they are. And
yeah.
It showed in these playoffs, like, they lose Iggy, and all of a sudden you're like, wow, they only have really, like, 6 players on this team.
Yeah.
Really think about it. They don't have a real big man besides who they play,
Looney,
like the only big they play.
Right, and Jordan Bell, the rook, he's been getting a lot of touches too.
So, like, they don't have a deep roster.
Yeah.
And they lose their fifth best player. Like, this is, and they're not playing like themselves. They're running a ISOs too.
Yeah.
Like, you got to take advantage of that.
Absolutely.
So, which I think they did, and without CP's injury, you know, maybe things go
different series.
But, like, you can't look at it that way. Your best player was still there, and you still had great players around him, so. I don't know where you go from there.
Yeah, I don't know if it'll get better for the Rockets, and I don't know if it'll get worse for the Warriors, because they're still the league favorite. They're still the favorite going into these finals, and they're probably going to be the favorite for next year, too. Like, it is what it is. So if you were going to beat the Warriors, it was last night.
Yeah.
It was this series.
Pretty much. And I, for me, I don't think they should pay Chris Paul a huge contract, but we'll see what they do.
Right.
We'll see. But we'll move on to the finals. First, you know, we'll talk about the fact that LeBron is going to his, what, eighth straight finals. Crazy. But how impressive is LeBron getting to this finals?
I think it's one of the, I think it is the most impressive finals run he's had. But it's, I don't think it's going to end the way people want it to.
Before we even get into
this. Yeah, the Warriors are going to win.
I'm going to start by saying, this series isn't going to be more than five games.
Yes.
I know it's LeBron, I get it. But last year he had Kyrie, they lost in five. He lost Kyrie, Kevin Love has a concussion. I know the Warriors lost Iguodala, but let's be real here. The Cavs are probably getting swept.
Yeah.
If LeBron gets one game against the Warriors, that's enough. That's enough for me, because that reminds me of, like, the 0-1 Sixers.
Right.
Where AI was just by himself and somehow beat the Lakers for their first loss in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, they were 16-0 up until that point. And
right.
They were 12-0 up until that point. Lost that game. Then they, you know...
Lost the series.
Yeah. Then the Sixers won that game, then the Lakers won four straight.
Right.
That's what I was trying to say. But, so, if LeBron can even steal a game, that'd be impressive. But overall, like...
This is the worst team LeBron has been on.
Pretty much.
I think. It's worse than the other Cavs team he was on.
It's the players around him are less consistent, and then when you lose Kevin Love, who hasn't played great in these playoffs,
yeah.
Once you lose him, you definitely...
You lose your best rebounder. Yeah. And Kevin Love gets so many offensive rebounds, yeah. And they really lose that aspect. He's also a good shooter, too. He's a decent shooter. But the Cavs don't have it. And LeBron, I think he's one 40-point game shy of breaking the playoff record for most 40-point games in a run.
I respect LeBron, but what about... I do have to talk about his competition. Like, Raptors, they're afraid of LeBron. That's been a fact. The Celtics, they don't have their two best players.
Right.
And then the Pacers, yeah, they have Oladipo.
But
it's still like a young team that's not really wasn't expected to
be
in the playoffs anyways. So I remember Stephen A. I was watching this video yesterday, and that's why this question came up. Stephen A. argued that, you know, luck was really on LeBron's side in this playoffs.
Right.
So how do you calculate that in? Does that affect, you know, how you feel about this? Do you still think it's like one of the most impressive feats yet when you think about like who he's had to play?
I'm going to still say yes. And I think it's just based on his teammates. It's based on the team that he's surrounded himself with.
Yeah.
Whether or not he's not going to win. I'm not even going to say that. But I think this is undeniably LeBron's best playoff run. And yeah, the competition has been weak. It's the East. LeBron's dominated the East his whole career. He, like you said, faced a young Pacers team. Faced a really broken Celtics team. They're very confident, but broken Celtics team.
Still great Celtics
team. Yeah. And then he swept the Raptors. Yeah.
The fact that he swept the one seed is just hilarious.
Yeah.
The Raptors have just never been real in the playoffs, and they've always been afraid of LeBron.
So yeah.
Like, that's with an asterisk. The Celtics, I think that's honestly still very impressive. Like,
yeah.
To lose Kyrie and to lose Kevin Love for these last two games and still beat this Celtics team, which I know they lost their two best players. I get that. But
right.
At the same time, this defense, Celtics defense, was elite.
Elite. Yeah, and I thought for sure we were going to win game six. I thought for sure. Once Kevin Love went out, I was like, this is over. We're winning tonight.
So I got to give him credit there. So we'll stop with that question. But, and we kind of already answered the second one, but I'll still say it just for fun of it. Do the Cavs have a chance in this series?
No. Absolutely not.
Yeah, we're just going to, I think we should just leave it at that.
Yeah.
We're not even going to debate about it.
Warriors in four.
They have four All-Stars. The Cavs have one, and then maybe two if one gets healthy.
Yeah.
Jeff Green is not an All-Star. Big Game Jeff.
Big Game Jeff. Maybe when they're down 3-0, Big Game Jeff will show up. He'll show up and give him like 20-8. But
Jeff Green sightings out of nowhere. I'm really shocked that he had 19 in Game 7.
Yep.
But I don't think you're getting 19 out of Jeff Green for one of these playoff games.
Yep. I don't think so either.
I don't think you're getting one finals game, Jeff. One signature Jeff Green finals game. Now, we can do quick release radar, then we'll be
out of here.
So, release radar, you going to list them out for us, Trevor?
Right, so it's really only one major album release coming out on Friday, and it's Ye. Kanye West, June 1st. We don't know. No album title yet. We don't know what the hell it's going to be. I have no idea what it's going to be like.
I just hope there isn't like a Make America Great Again.
It's probably got to be. If there is, that's it. That's it for me. That's the end.
Like, I'm going to listen to it because, you know, Ye is such a legend that even though he's doing his crazy stuff
right
now, I still got to at least listen to the album. But we'll see, you know, if it's something that I want to keep listening to. I really don't know what he's going to talk about. I hope he's not going to talk about, you know, Trump and stuff, but he might.
He probably will. It seems like, given this, the singles he's put out so far, that's what it's going to be like.
Yeah.
But
we'll see.
Yep, and for singles, we'll keep you updated. We actually just made a Twitter, so make sure you hit that up. 808s and ankle breaks on Twitter. I'm changing the handle, so I won't put it out here yet, but it'll be in the link. Because right now it's at 808s in B, and we don't want it to be that. So
we'll have our Twitters and 808s and ankle breaks in the description.
Right.
Also, you know, finals start Thursday, and that'll be the end of our release radar. But thanks for listening, guys. You know, I'm John the Karma. Trevor Wilson,
T-Dub,
at JKarma98 on Twitter,
Trevor Wilson OG,
check out my work on Moogatunes. I've already put out, as well as Trevor, last summer we both were interns at Moogatunes, so we have some previous work there. I also just put out a review for Shrimp Life 3, I will be finishing up an article on the Duppy freestyle from Drake, and you know, the Does Push Have to Respond, that piece should be coming out probably on
superb.
What else?
I think that's it.
Yeah. So thanks for listening, all the awesome kings and queens out there that you know that have stayed with us, and all the new people from Moogatunes. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.